Senior Focus.
Welcome to Senior Focus. Today I'm with Tamika Simpson, who describes herself to me as a daughter who cared. She looked after her mother, who died of Alzheimer's a few years ago. I know Tamika through her job at the University of Auckland, where she is the manager of the Centre for Co-created Aging Research, and she deliberately draws on her lived experience of caring for her parents in her work. And I want to talk to Tamika today because it's Mothering Sunday today, and I wanted to think about how our relationship shifts with our mums as we go from them being the mum to us doing the mothering. So let's start off with a bit of whenuatanga. Welcome, Tamika. Thank you for being here. Where do you come from? And can you tell us a little bit about your family history?
Kia ora, Alex. Shaw Kang. I was born in Nelson, Whakatū, on our family farm at the top of the Brook Valley. I grew up in the same house that my dad grew up on, and his dad came and farmed on that property. So I'm very much from the Brook Valley of Nelson. But I've been around a bit since then. I've lived in London. I've lived in Nuku'ofa, Tonga. And now I'm living in Auckland, where my partner Richard grew up. So being on his Turanganawaewae is really special, and I adore Auckland. So it's so nice to be here today talking about mothering.
Oh, welcome. So you've told me where you grew up, which is down in Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
What did your mum and dad do?
They were farmers. So we've got a sheep and beef farm there. It's still a sheep and beef farm, but we've always worked away as well. So dad was a master shearer to support the farm, and my brother, who's the farmer in my generation, both mum and dad have gone now. My brother is a deep sea fisherman. I'm working away, but actually we have 5 homes on our land in Nelson still.
Oh, wow. And was it a happy childhood growing up on the farm?
Yeah, lots of freedom. I often didn't go to school because there was more to be learnt on the farm, or it was just too difficult. I spent a lot of time with my dad as the farmer and my brother Craig, 2 years older, who's a farmer now. So quite free, pretty rough. You know, we got into some scrapes, like the time that Craig and I painted ourselves with lead paint everywhere. And that caused a panic for mum, who threw us in the bath and got the tub of fat from under the sink to get the lead paint off us. So, you know, free, but not without risk.
Benign neglect. Not so great when you find the lead paint.
A different time.
Yeah.
So I was born in 1965, so a different time. Wonderful schools that we did go to down the end of the valley, but, you know, we were busy, and it was, we spent a lot of time with my grandparents, as we talked about before we started, Alex. A free time, not the easiest, being farmers, holding on to land.
Yeah.
And Dad worked all the time, and then Sunday we went driving so that someone else could feed us and Dad could lie on the couch and sleep. We didn't go on holiday ever as a family because we were farmers, I guess. An interesting childhood. I had really good education. The school system happened to suit me. But partly that was because Dad had subscriptions to magazines. So we would go and pick up the magazines, you know, National Geographic.
Yeah.
That's the one that I remember particularly, because I'd get into such trouble if I cut the pictures out for my school projects. But one of the amazing things about my childhood was that Mum and Dad could come to all of our school events, and Dad could be a helper in the classroom, which was unusual for a man. So that was for my sister, who was born 6 years after me. And I don't know whether you remember, possibly not, Alex, that there was an experiment of putting 2 classrooms together and having parents help. So Dad was a parent helper. So Mum and Dad could always come, and did come, to all 4 of our events. I was a good runner, you know, sporty. We're all sporty. There was heaps and heaps of stuff. And Dad was always there. And I didn't realise how unusual that was until I moved to Wellington to work, really, and saw the change to two parents needing to work to cover the bills and the difference of being in the city. So I think that was really particular about my childhood, that mum and dad were always there and always came to all of our stuff.
Oh, wow.
That was normal. It's not normal, is it?
I don't think everybody has that experience, but I am married to someone who works from home.
Right.
And so is just as engaged with the children as I am, and probably does more when it comes to running them around to different activities because he's there at 3:30. So, and that's quite a privilege, I think.
Exactly that. Mum and dad both worked from home. Dad was a farmer. The home that he worked from was 500 acres, and he might have been right at the top.
Yeah.
But he was working from home and had the freedom and self-employed.
So what was your mum's role on the farm?
She was the housewife, homemaker. She emerged into herself, so she was a feminist. She started the Nelson Women's Room when we were right into that. She had workshops on the farm where Dad taught people like the Top Twins how to use a chainsaw. So she got involved in community stuff, activist type stuff, but she was there to look after the house and us. She didn't like cooking, so Dad actually fed us. He's a beautiful cook. And in my view, men cook. My brother cooks. My partner cooks. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So mum was the homemaker, but her own self, thankfully.
What were the things that you enjoyed most about your relationship with your mother when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, probably her creativity and her individual self. You know, she had friendships. So she had her own life. She didn't live through us.
Yeah.
She was there, but patchier than Dad, probably because she was a freer spirit.
Yeah.
Than Dad. But her creativity, and she was always up to something. You know, like at one point she had a business. Do you remember the Everest socks? Those scratchy, thick socks that farmers wore? Anyway, she took to dyeing those beautiful colours like purple and bright blue and selling them at markets. So she had her own life and interests, and I think that's what I enjoyed. It taught me to be the woman that I am. You know, I thought that was normal, that you have your own individual interests and life, and you say no. One of the things I most appreciate about mum being on the farm, but close to town. So the farmhouse that we still have and my little brother lives in with his family now is only 3 miles out of central Nelson. So I think perhaps the proximity, and also we're next door to a motor camp where people live semi-permanently. I don't know, for whatever many reasons, we're at the head of the valley, so people are drawn to the water source from the steep hills there. People forever coming to the door asking for things or having bright ideas. So my mum taught me how to say, to listen, and then to say, I'll have to think about that. Goodbye. So to pause and to think for yourself and to reflect. So I really appreciate learning that with her and from her. She got a reputation as a very difficult woman for saying no. So she taught me that it was okay to say no. It's okay for people to think that you were very difficult. That's fine.
Wow, that's the thing. I was listening, having a conversation with some younger people last night, and that was the thing they found hardest, was how to maybe extricate themselves from a conversation. Well, they've had a good conversation, but they need to move on. How do you say, thank you, this was a great conversation, I have to go on? Or how do you say no nicely? It's how wonderful that your mum taught you that.
Yeah, well, it's in the interaction, you don't need to say no. And she didn't say no, and she was saying no. What she was saying was, thank you, I think I understand what you're asking of me or what you're imagining for us. I need to have a think about that in another conversation. And it takes the impetus to be back in touch, back into yourself. So I think it's a respectful way of operating, even when the ideas were really outrageous. So a lot of people, not that this was outrageous because mum and dad did house people on the farm and then get raided by the council, et cetera. But a lot of people would ask to come and live on the land. And there's a lot to consider in that, whether we could actually look after them, whether they would be better off living on the land. So in effect, you were saying, we can't actually help you. But in the interaction, you don't reject people.
Yes. Yes. Being able to do that respectfully, it is a skill. It's a skill that...
And Mun taught me to have the strength to not worry if not everybody liked me or people called me names like difficult. You know, as a Mun taught me how to be a feminist. I am a feminist. Those two words, difficult and woman, in our gendered society, those are quite that's a quite difficult label to handle. And Mum handled it fine. It didn't bother her. What was more important was that people respected her word when she was standing on her land.
Yeah.
So whether they liked her or not was of a lesser concern. She had friendships. Of course she did. She had friends that helped her dye Everest socks and sell them.
Yeah.
But that's different from being respected and doing deals. She taught me how to negotiate. That part of that is saying no to some opportunities. Doesn't mean you reject this beautiful person standing in front of you. It's just their idea or their latest idea. Yeah, you're saying it's not for us right now. Thank you.
So, that's Mothering Sunday. What did you do for your mum on Mother's Day? Was that something that you did or did it just seem inappropriate in our terms?
Mum liked any excuse for a party. So we did recognise Mother's Day when she was with us, or I did, and she liked to receive cards and she liked to eat together. So it was really, and she like loved the farmhouse. So Mum married into the farmhouse. It was my father's family's land, but she really embraced the farmhouse that we still have. So her favourite thing was for us to come to her to eat together and probably have a card that was really thought through for her. You know, so the kids, I don't have children, but her grandchildren, great-grandchildren make her cards. So that's what we did. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So when you left home, where did you go and what opportunities were you seeking?
When I left home, I moved to Wellington for work. And I was seeking more stimulating work than was available to me in Nelson. So I had gone to work after Nelson Girls College in Nelson.
Yeah.
It was at the district engineering office, district engineer's office as a clerk. And I was bored within the work. Perhaps having grown up on the farm, we were forever solution finding and opportunity seeking.
Yeah.
Very active brain work if you're self-employed, if you produce food. So the work in Nelson was not a fit for me and I felt constrained there. Very gendered, potentially violent place, provincial Nelson at that time. So I went to the city for more interesting work and a greater number of people doing a greater number of things.
And did you stay in touch with your mum and dad back home?
Oh, yes, always have returned home. Yeah, I think perhaps because it's the farm and the farmhouse, forever returning. Yeah, so I went back to have my 21st, just let me thank Alex. My 21st birthday party was with my workmates from the Nelson Evening Mail because I hadn't quite, didn't have a social network in Wellington. So I returned to Nelson to the farmhouse and had a little party with my Nelson Evening Mail workmates. So it's an interesting question because I can't imagine not going home to that place, and I still do. We still own the land. It's our time now, this generation. All of my siblings live there. Some of my nephews and nieces. one of my great nephews lives there. So always returning.
So at what time did the relationship start to turn around so you took a greater role in supporting your mum?
I think there was a period in the middle. I remember a scrape I had with mum when I arrived home from Wellington. I think it was probably about 7, 8, 9 years after I'd left home, and I was still flying back to Nelson. I don't know how many times I've flown across the strait, went into Nelson, but I went back and mum was, I felt, trying to still tell me how to live my life. And we had a fight, which was unusual, an argument. And I said, look, I'm nearly 30. I have my own life. You can no longer try and tell me how to live, mum. And that was one shift. So it was almost like separating into two women.
Yeah.
When I was about 30. And I thought that was quite overdue, really. But separating into two women, two feminist women who had our own lives. Mum was quite a young mother, so she'd only be in her early 50s then, younger than I am now. We separated into two independent women. So we were more like friends. So the support for mum didn't really come. Well, let me put it this way. Two forms of support I feel in my relationship with my mother. One was to defend her independence. So to say no to my father and brothers, because mum lived alone in the farmhouse and loved it, loved living alone, loved living in the farmhouse, loved having her own autonomy, freedom. So I did support her in her right to be her individual woman self. But then later on, I returned home to Nelson. I started commuting a lot because my father was unwell. And he's older than mum, six, seven years older than mum. And I started commuting back from Wellington to look after dad. Mum was in the farmhouse. Mum and dad had separated decades before. They still both lived on the land. That's partly how we do it down there. Hold on to the land. If you can't live together, build yourself a whare that's further away, right? So I was very much focused on dad, and mum was still living her own life. When dad died and I sort of recovered and turned around, by that stage I was living in Nelson full time. My partner Richard and I had a house built to look after dad halfway up the farm. I turned around and mum's dementia, Alzheimer's, had much advanced. I hadn't really even realised, because the support I was supplying was her independence. So I didn't get involved too much, and I didn't want anyone else getting involved too much. And then it intensified. So she had community support workers then, but it was normal for mum to have a lot of medical care because she'd never been particularly well, had asthma from a child, and complications as a result of that. And it just intensified from then. So mum wanted to stay in the farmhouse, and the support I provided was facilitating her staying where she wanted to stay. So my newer house was 2 kilometres up our unsealed farm driveway, and I was in proximity. But I did take on her banking and most of the phone calls as her skills and her health deteriorated. So quite intense support, so running the practical things for her, I guess, and developing a really deep trust relationship with her. And then on her last, she wanted to stay. We're trying to negotiate her going into care. So this is a farmhouse in a valley, cold. She's isolated with her Alzheimer's. She's getting increasingly worried and upset and not having a good quality of life. So her last visit to hospital, the hospital specialist said actually she shouldn't come home to Mika. So I found her a place and we totally lucked in. She went to a place, a small scale care home that was near where she grew up, which is out on the plains of Nelson. run by two sisters, and she had 6 months where she was not lonely. So I stayed in Nelson, not working, and I visited her with food from the farm. Yeah.
You did some research into care homes and what really mattered to support the well-being of the residents. And I think it was love and good food.
That's right.
Where was that, the same care home?
No, actually, when I could see mum dying, and people will understand this who are carers for people with dementia, you know that they're dying. So I thought, oh, back to work, back to the city, what's it going to look like? And I saw an ad for a research project called Aged Care in a Changing World by Professor Nairi Kerr. So I applied, and to my great thanks to Nairi, she enabled me to work 1 day a week from Nelson. Because, of course, I was on the front line as a family carer, as the project was about. But we did talk to other care homes as part of the project and visit, but not mum's particular one. I would like to do something with those fantastic women that looked after mum and all of their staff, but not directly. But I did develop this view, and as you said in your introduction, thank you, Alex, I do use my lived experience for what was important for my mother, because it's such a strong position to speak from. What was important to mum with Alzheimer's was that she knew I was coming. So I did things like would be in touch with the carers so that they could reassure mum that I was coming, let them know that mum can ring me any time and that they will not be disturbing me if they bring mum to the phone. So there are lots of things that I could reflect on that I did in our practice, that I would go and have lunch with mum and sit very close opposite like we are now and take the food that she recognised, like avocados, like those beautiful salads I still, like iceberg lettuce with hard-boiled eggs, you know, the food that she recognised, and she would eat really well. But she didn't eat very well at other times. But I knew that this direct interaction with me, she would eat. So, yeah, this flow of direct lived experience in a loving relationship into research and advocacy, I guess, and saying, actually, that's not our experience. If you're talking about designing better care, this is our experience, is really worthwhile. That's why I took this job.
So you described one shift where you two became different feminist women.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this other shift after your father died and your mother needed that extra sort of, the extra care. And then she went into the care home. But from that shift, did you feel like you were mothering her, or was it a different sort of relationship that you had at that stage?
When you asked me to come and speak with you today, Alex, I have thought about it, and I've thought about it as a sociologist. I've thought about it in terms of social capital and power and being in the prime. So I've thought about when I was at school and mum was mothering me and dad was mothering me, actually, as a farmer. He was a beautiful nurturer.
Yeah.
They were in the prime of life and I had much to learn. So they sort of took the lead in facilitating my existence and success in a world where they were, you know, at the top of the heap, if you like. They knew how to operate. They were vital, they were strong, they had social connections, they knew how to drive cars, whatever, they knew how the world worked,
yeah.
Right? I'm five, I'm at Tasman Street School, they're in their prime, and so they did everything to facilitate me being supported, cared for, safe, fed, all those things. So I was thinking that when I really got involved in mum's life, and apart from being our two feminist women friends, they're not friends at times, was when I was in the prime, when I was in ascendancy, because I knew how to operate the world. I had all the resources. I was still driving. I had earnings. I knew people around. I was considered the most valuable person because I was in the prime as a worker in our Western worldview. So I was able, I knew how to do online banking. I knew how to order groceries. I could operate really strongly, and Mum could not so much anymore. So I sort of was thinking about it like that. I'm probably trying to disrupt the gender view as well. Alex, forgive me. But I was just thinking about it in terms of power and strength and social capital and facilitating people that don't have that in the abundance that I have it. So I'm still in that, turning 60 this year. I'm still in my prime. I still know how to operate. But you know what? There are younger ones than me that are much better at many things than I am. So I can see the shift for myself as well. I'm less prime than I was, if you like. But certainly care and love, aroha, for Mum came into it, absolutely. And taking responsibility for her, because I knew her so very, very well. And I think there's something in that too, in the mothering dynamic. The people that you know really, really well, better than anyone actually, I think is part of the mothering role. Because I could say, actually, not sure about that for Shirley. My mum's name, Shirley, after Shirley Temple.
It's love and care and that knowledge where you can look out for the other person's best interests because you know them so well.
Yeah, it's a tricky one as well, though. So I had an awful, awful experience late, very as Mum was dying, basically, where she was shut out of the conversation about her care.
Yeah.
I was shocked. Yeah. We had moved to another care home by then and a different GP, and Mum was sort of in the court. She was trying on her deathbed, trying to get in the conversation because that's who she was. She was feisty to the end, trying to get into the conversation, and two people were having a conversation really without me. They'd asked me the odd thing. And I was shocked by that. So I don't mean that I spoke for Mum.
No.
But I facilitated.
Yes.
The world that's now my world.
Yes.
And I have strength in it, strength enough to say no without saying no. So assertiveness, if you like. I'm strong enough at the moment still to be assertive, which means that I can achieve what I want for myself. And I think that's the shift in the dynamic. Of a mothering role when we can be assertive and facilitate this person into what they want and need to be happy and well and safe and secure.
Tamika, thank you so much for giving me the time today. I really appreciated the conversation, and we've come full circle about being assertive, respectfully. So thank you. I have been asked also to just spread the word about a concert. So I'll do that now. The Organ, Piano and Keyboard Society of Auckland are holding a concert on Sunday, 25th of May at 98 Captain Springs Road, Onehunga, by the Waikaraka Park from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Admission is $10 or members $7. For any further details, please ring Rob Powell. So that's a concert on Sunday, 25th of May, 98 Captain Springs Road, Onehunga, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Thank you so much, and we'll be back next Sunday. Goodbye.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.
A whole world of radio on planetaudio.org.nz.
Property Matters, proudly brought to you by Barfoot & Thompson. Join me, Stephen Dallow, each week as I chat with guests across the property investment landscape and answer your questions as landlords and tenants. We're on air Mondays 4:15pm on Planet FM 104.6 or download the podcast at barfoot.co.nz/propertymatters.